I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 311.
It's a good band.
I know, I'm going to have Down like stuck in my head. I was all mixed up. This is a beautiful disaster.
Hey.
And we are all mixed up.
We are all mixed up.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. I'm running out of 311 songs to reference.
That's good. Transistor, and then there was Transistor. Didn't they cover, what was the Cure song?
They covered a Cure
love
song. Yeah. When it sounded just like
I'm like, it's not really a cover when you just do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't like those covers. You know,
the covers that sound just like the originals.
Who did Radar Love? And then like, get me started.
Golden Earring did it originally, and I think did Great White cover
Great
it?
Great White, and I was like, ugh, terrible,
because it sounds just like Golden Earring. I'm like, I already have that. It's like if a tribute band made a record,
right.
Like you go see a tribute band because you can't really see the Beatles,
right.
But I can still listen to the Beatles records. I don't need to hear the Liverpool Legends record a CD of Beatles songs.
Right. Yeah, note for note cover is just
the
worst.
What was the one Metallica? Oh, Turn the Page.
Yeah, or freaking Quiet Riot twice. We've already talked about that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I like a cover where it's like, I mean, love it or hate it, when Devo did Satisfaction by the Stones, you're like, wow,
it was different, right? It was different for sure.
Expanded.
Let me ask you this. So one thing I've been getting sick of lately, which I started off loving, was those covers.
Donald Trump.
Well,
no,
he voted for him. Sorry.
But those covers. So think of Westworld and all the piano music.
The sleepy covers.
Yes. Okay. Those started off being clever and amazing. Yeah. Now every movie trailer has one.
Like
every show has one.
The creepy, ironic juxtaposition.
Exactly. I was going to call it ironic covers that match the tone. And I'm like, okay, it started off clever, but now that every studio, as Hollywood does, has clung on to it. Every trailer I saw, what was the last sci-fi, the Luc Besson, Valerian?
Oh, yeah. Valerian, yeah.
I mean, Valerian had one.
It turned into...
Care
that
for
was
Wellness
like,
had one, but that was a while ago. But like those covers that are just like creepy. Okay,
what about the backvertising of music?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's, what about the Immigrant Song from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
That was pretty well
but
done.
But that was good, and that was
super creepy.
Years ago, though, what I'm saying is like ever since I think Westworld really ramped up, and that was amazing. But there was like almost a new song every episode.
And for Westworld, it fit that because one, it was the player piano and stuff like that. Like it was part of the story,
it was organic
versus just like ironic.
And that guy, he does the music for Game of Thrones too. I think that guy's a genius. What's that guy's name? I can't.
Paycheck.
No, is it like Raymond or Randy?
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he is a really talented guy. And
I can't remember the last time a theme song got me excited, but then the Game of Thrones theme song comes out, and I was like, I'm excited to watch this show.
Don't skip past this.
You know, what's interesting is for so long, people were saying that theme songs were going to go away,
right?
Because on commercial-based television,
that's
just it's time a, that filler. They could
it's
be...
It's an advert. It's a commercial.
That's two commercials if you have a 60-second, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so even shows that had theme songs, like How I Met Your Mother, like it started being just like a little stab of the theme song, and then boom. But because of streaming...
Yeah, who cares?
They've come roaring back.
Yeah.
And, like, now songs have shows have cool opening credits and theme songs.
Man, I'll tell you what, those Marvel ones...
Like, even if the show's crappy, like, their opening sequences are awesome. Like, the Iron Fist opening credit sequence is awesome.
Yeah.
Show just, is garbage.
It's just too bad that that's the best it's going to be.
It wasn't going to get any better than that.
Yeah, I watched all 13 opening credits, and it was great.
Yeah. I wish that would have been just as good as this thing.
So I found the name of the composer for Game of Thrones and Westworld, Raymond Doughty. Raymond Doughty.
It's Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raymond D.
Raymond D.
Raymond D.
Raymond D. That's
Raymond D. is awesome.
So what Kevin's saying is he loves the D.
He loves the D.
He loves the D. Can't get enough of the D.
Of the D.
Well, Raymond.
Raymond's D.
Put some D right in his ear hole.
Is what he's asking for.
All up in the ear hole.
What does guy got to do to get a Mirage?
I'm
just kind of like, ugh.
I'm just we'll trying to get the Mirage.
It's Kevin, so it's sort of like, well, when it's like directed at ourselves, it's sort of like, well.
Okay. It was so shame. I was this close to just flat out denying the Holocaust. I will get you to shake that Maraca.
or that the hurricane, was it Irma? Is a liberal, folks.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Irma. There's an old timey reference.
I don't think she's anybody's friend.
You don't even realize I'm making it old timey.
No, I don't. Way old timey.
It was a very popular radio show, and it's probably best remembered. Do you know?
For what it's probably
best remembered for? It was turned into a movie, and it featured the film debut of some young up and comers named Martin and Lewis. So there
it is. Rest in peace.
Yeah. So now that I've killed the conversation, we can all introduce ourselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes, where you can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. Do we have a new review this week? Somebody forgot to check. I can tell by the look on his face. He's like, oh, we're recording a day early. I forgot to look.
No.
He threw off my rhythm.
No, we don't.
We don't.
Yeah, see?
See?
Still getting it.
You got lucky.
Yeah.
You had a 50-50 chance.
That's right. And usually, I get it wrong.
What we, you know, what we really need is for somebody to leave a review
and then
for
delete
real,
it.
But on our Real Spoilers iTunes account, but leave the review for This American Life. Yeah. And then Joe will have no way of being correct.
Wait, what happened?
I love Ira Glass. Yeah. He educates and entertains weekly.
Did we get him as a guest?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's a hell of a get.
That would be.
Yeah.
That would be. So don't forget, you can also join the League of Show Sharers. You can do that at facebook.com/realspoilers. You can type in League of Show Sharers in your little searcher thingy, and we'll pop right up. That's what they're called now. Don't look at me like
things.
That.
Nope. Sorry, I'm with you.
And people who were kind enough to share the show this week. Oh, why did I do this? First name on the list. The guy I couldn't pronounce last week.
Perfect.
Bud Vogtlin. Yeah. So sorry.
Bud, send us your name phonetically.
Yes.
He sounds like an old timey, like a vaudeville performer.
He does, guys.
Doesn't he?
It's vaudeville.
So they would change their name so people could pronounce
That's
it.
That's true, yeah.
They would do it all, like Lou Costello's real last name is Costello.
Is that right?
Yes. Oh. That's a true fact.
True.
Don't you love it when people say that? True fact.
Is it a true fact?
Yeah, like no facts
what
are true.
What else would it be?
Like, that's,
you know, like Stanley Leibowitz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Stan Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. So it happened all the time. That's just a lot to write out. When you got to write it weekly.
Right.
In multiple books.
People want you to sign a book.
You're just like, oh, that's too much work.
And there was a certain period of time where certain people were, you know, changing their names just because they're avoiding a little bit of a hassle.
Yeah. To sound, quote unquote, more American.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, so other people who share: Jason Herndon, Chris Sanders, Griffin Fox Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming. Help me with this one.
Okay.
Because I feel bad. He even told us how to pronounce it phonetically, and I'm totally blanking. Okay, I just own this. I had a concert last night, so I worked like 14 hours yesterday. So
sounds like my job.
And I also have a cold.
Right.
So it's just all piling up. But Chris, it was
San Sochi.
Magic Con.
Oh.
Remember, he told us how to say it, and now I'm totally blanking. He's like, these guys are assholes.
Just call him the Magic Man. That's his nickname.
He's like, I'm never sharing this show again. I joined the League of Show Sharers, and here's the upside when I can't pronounce your name. you don't hear your name said properly, but we end up talking about
That's true. You're definitely part of the show more.
Yeah, so you have won the Linnea Thunsel.
Tammy Sherman Powers.
Yeah. Well, that's easy to say.
Well, I know, but
we just talked about that because it's fun.
Right, yeah.
And she's a Civil War general.
Attorney of law.
Lane LeVanway, like he's got.
Yeah, right.
Didn't he host the show at one point?
Yeah, he did. It was a hostile takeover.
It was.
So
we fought back hard.
At some point, I'll remember how to. It took me. Linnea will tell you. It took me like about 6 or 8 weeks to get that right. So Tom Kaminsky, and I. Here's another one, Dan. You got to get a song at the ready. So I.
Well, we don't know how to pronounce it. I can't do the song.
It's. This is what her official Facebook name was, and I went and looked at her page, and so it's a real person. Like it's not like a Chechen hooker or something.
Those are real people.
Not the ones on Facebook.
Not the ones we're getting friend requests.
Are you getting more of those lately?
Yes, I'm getting
those
a lot of them.
Are just it's non-ridiculous.
Do you always, when you get those, do you go, well, let's see if there's any mutual friends?
I do every time.
There's always like one
just like,
guy.
It's always Steve Kelly. I don't know why.
Well, and I like, so I get friend requests from women I don't know sometimes because of the clip out. The other podcast I host with my wife about the exercise bike.
Yeah.
And so I will get requests from women that, like, if you don't know, like, they might have posted like a photo of them in like workout clothes.
Yeah.
So
when you're
on your phone and it's a thumbnail and you're like, I don't know if this is like dirty or if she's just working out, like, what do I got going? And I'll click through and so.
No, I just want to make sure.
Just checking.
Just checking.
I know. It's funny when have you gotten one of those when your wife's sitting next to you?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. That's fun. Who's that? It's just a filthy hooker.
I don't know. Yeah. But I don't think I know, but let me check.
Yeah.
I just need to be sure.
Oops, I meant to hit delete.
Wasn't it weird, though, because like there's a moment in your head where you're like, maybe I did run into this person. You would probably remember. Right. But, well, let me check.
Well, at work, don't know her. I see people all the time at work, right? And
but
so, like,
I see these people.
I don't know because, like, my name tag is on my shirt. So it's possible that, like, I had a run-in with somebody and
but
they
you
found
don't,
me
I was,
on Facebook.
You were walking past a bikini shoot.
Yeah, right.
And you're like,
well,
if you
maybe
see
she
some
remembers
of these girls.
Me.
But your Facebook page isn't your name.
Giuseppe. Yes.
Correct.
Does your name tag say Giuseppe?
That's not my first. Why would I have my first name on it, Kevin?
Well, a lot of name tags have first names.
No. Yeah, law that's enforcement true. Name tags do not have first names.
Well, well, it would be a much friendlier place.
Yeah.
This you're is why, the problem.
I'm the problem.
This is why people don't like cops. Mm-hmm. Just said Joe.
I had a buddy that
Officer Joe.
So that when the Ferguson thing was happening, there was
heard of it.
It was a thing.
Yeah. We don't sure talk about that. Aware.
There was some police officers weren't wearing their name tags on purpose.
Yeah.
So there was like a mandatory thing that said you got to put your name tag on.
Yeah, you should.
Right. So I had a buddy who just took a piece of like scotch or like duct tape and just wrote his name on it and put it on his jacket and just walked around like that. And I was like, man, yeah, it's really funny. Like, I that's hilarious because then if he goes into a situation, he'd be like, whoosh, gone. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, that's brilliant.
So other right, people to share. Where was I at? Oh, so it's AI to Sigi no Senshi.
Gonna have to come back to that one.
Come up with some rhymes on that
one.
Did
you see a picture of this person?
Yeah.
What nationality are they?
I was on my phone, so it was small, but like she looked like she shared Death Note.
Okay.
She shared her Death Note episode.
Okay.
And she looked like she goes to cons and is in the cosplay and stuff.
Perfect.
Like that. So I don't know. It means something to her.
Is this her?
That is not her.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the other Asian porn thing.
All right. Well,
yeah.
I will, yes. As soon as we have some clarification, I will.
You will circle
whip
back
something
around.
Unless we got like a real picture of her.
Can we friend request her? To like the show?
I mean,
she would not
probably,
accept your friend.
Here's
request.
The thing that's messed up, Kevin. That's Photoshop. That's not a real person.
Oh.
I don't know. I made that up. Yeah.
You're never going to meet him anyway, so it doesn't matter.
True.
So, plowing through this instead of her.
There we go.
What I said instead of her.
Instead of.
He just said, we're not going to plow through that young lady.
And we're talking about these Facebook, not the listeners.
And there goes all those listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about Facebook random friend requests.
So Brad Hyen, Jason Weese, Brent Smith, Brandon Coleman, Julianne Jordan, I have Brent Smith on here twice. Travis Tewitt, Zach Bach.
Not Zach Bach.
Timmy Tuzoons, and the aforementioned Linnea Thunsell. So thank you very much, guys. We greatly appreciate
it. It was awesome.
So here's the deal. We're recording a day early to accommodate various schedules. For once, it wasn't
and
mine.
And one, you mean various, you mean Dan?
I can't point fingers as much as I've been out over the summer.
I was willing to forego.
No, and we said
but,
no.
But we wanted you here.
We did.
So
thank you guys for that.
We know that your fear of clowns would make for a great discussion.
Okay, so yeah, we'll have to explain the whole chlorophobia thing because some people
you have a
confused.
Fear of chloroform? Which is legit.
No, the clown thing is absolutely real. But
I think it's overplayed.
I try to explain. Well, it is. But I try to explain to people. It's like when people are like, well, what about this? And they'll show me like a clown mask or monsters. I'm like, no, that's just a clown mask. Or like that's a mask or a monster.
Yeah, that's just.
I am genuinely creeped out from the people in the makeup.
Right.
And if I see them. It's very, very unsettling.
It's
but that's more
we do walk the other way.
That's a matter of that's the whole uncanny thing where it's like, because you can see their face and their face is doing one thing, but the makeup's doing another.
Now, what about like when you go to Six Flags Fright Fest and it's makeup, but it's creepy makeup and they
scary
have
clown
sharp
makeup,
teeth.
But that's just like a monster, you know?
But
like,
it's not a mask, it's makeup. But that's not.
I'm like you just give me a regular person and clown makeup, and that is a problem.
Just Bozo.
Bozo, Ronald, any of that.
The original Pennywise was pretty much a plain... You know what I mean?
This Pennywise is plain makeup for the most part.
They make him creepy.
They do a little distortion. They do some stuff, but
well,
for the most
that's
part,
for the next podcast.
But there's, so it's the whole Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. But so we were recording this a day early and a dollar short.
Yeah.
And so we are using box office estimates.
Correct.
So,
yes.
So if you're.
Predictions. When estimates are usually what we use.
Okay,
these are worse
using,
than.
Yeah. We're using, we're using weekend predictions so you can have a box office report because it's been so many specialty episodes in a row. Right. We didn't want to bog you down with another one. So we will be using predictions. So when you're hearing this, if you've seen articles and the numbers are different, that is why. So
these are predictions or we're geniuses.
Yes. If they're right, then we're really, really good.
Yes, it's the box office of the future.
Yeah. Dan was computing these all night long based on all the ratings, the cinema scores.
He was literally out at Ronnie's counting heads.
Yeah.
He's like, and then
pretty good.
Extrapolating.
Then there's 17 Wernbergs, and then there's 15 AMCs, and then
carry the St. Louis Cinemas.
Right.
Couple.
Divide by Regal.
Right. Yeah.
And here are the numbers. And so Landmark. Kevin has his magic eight ball at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. And it's no surprise that the number one movie predicted for this weekend will be It. Now,
it'll be what?
It'll be It.
What will it be?
Hitman's Bodyguard.
But what is it?
It's on first base.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd I get on third? I don't know.
No.
Third base.
But the question is by how much? Do any guys have a guess before you hear the prediction? What do you think?
80? 70 million.
Yeah, I want to say probably about 65 million.
Okay, so they're predicting 83 million. Oof. So everyone is pretty close.
And I think
that's low.
They're predicting low.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be surprised. I think it's going to be more than that.
I did too.
I mean, they did it. We talked about it we haven't had a real movie in 2 weeks. So it's opening against literally nothing.
And it's also a movie that people have been talking about.
It's a movie people are talking about. It's a movie that's getting a lot of buzz.
It's a beloved book.
Yep.
It was an oddly beloved miniseries.
I think that's a cult. I think it has gone to that cult status.
I've been really caught off guard by how many people are like, I love the TV movie.
Yeah. And I don't think it's cool because people liked it back then a lot.
They did.
It
was like...
Did they like it back then?
It was mostly good except for the end.
Right. Yeah.
And then it was like, what? That's stupid.
Wait, which end? The adult end or the kid end?
The adult end.
Okay.
And
where they fight a turtle.
Yeah,
oh,
I
right,
was like,
right,
spider.
Right, right.
Yeah, I was
a
like,
turtle's
giant spider,
guy.
That's dumb. Spoiler. And I remember reading the book, and I kind of like, that's sort of how I remember the book, and I'm like, that's dumb.
Yeah. And but then that the is scene. In the book,
but,
right? I mean, we don't go
giant,
deep into it, but the spider is...
Yeah, the spider turtle
well,
thing is
we'll
in the
get
book.
Into
yeah.
it also, it but dumb. He also has spider tendencies in this one.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But I think they're laying the groundwork.
I think they are, yeah.
But they... But yeah, I remember the TV movie being fairly well respected and well received because honestly, there wasn't a lot of good Stephen King.
Had there been any adaptations on TV at that point? Was this the first one?
No, and I will no, get to that later enough. Because that's my recovery.
There was one before it?
Yes.
Okay.
There, I mean, there was my video recovery.
There was one in the 70s.
Oh. This is my video recovery.
I'm not gonna, I quit. Dan, okay, good. Tom's keeps.
So I know. But what I mean, he,
like,
I
mean,
about,
like, they came out of the gate with adaptations, like film or TV. The first one was Carrie,
right?
And that was good.
That's came out of the gate strong.
But that's also a very simple story to capture.
Yeah. It's De Palma, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. I think if I don't think Stephen King would be the juggernaut he is, were it not for that movie,
I agree.
Which Carrie?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, I put him on. He worked at Baskin Robbins when he wrote that.
Yeah, I that was. His, second book, I believe, but the first one published.
Yeah.
Oh.
And was The Shining after that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well after, yeah.
Okay. Because I think, was his second book The Dead Zone? I think it goes Carrie the Dead Zone. But
that's a good movie.
Good movie.
Yeah. And, really
good
but movie. I think that, like, that movie being such a hit is, even though there's been so many Stephen King movies that stalled out, I think that that's what kept bringing Hollywood back. That and then the books were so popular.
Sure.
Yeah, that it was like, okay, so he's writing things people care about, and we just got to figure out how to make them. And here we are 40 years later, and
still making them.
They're still trying.
And the funny thing about the It TV miniseries is that you could pin everything on just a picture of Tim Curry. And people were,
we're just like,
I mean,
what
and
the
mostly
hell?
It resonated. It still resonates, and you see it, and you're like, bleh. and honestly, I think that's why. And that's what people take away from that. Because if you watch it, it's like 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take out
and
commercials.
It was a double cassette. I remember that.
Yeah. It's like, I think The Stand was a better, way better than that.
What about The Langoliers?
No, there was a lot. Of, I mean, there's a lot.
That was one, those are the ones that were eating turds, right?
There's a
I never saw or read that one.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, that was
that
terrible.
Was one with Balky.
Yeah, that's at the airport.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think Tommyknockers was the one he was.
Maybe that's the one that they're eating.
He was so coked up. He said he doesn't even remember writing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is true.
So yeah, they're saying $83 million. It only has a $35 million budget.
That's insane.
That is very modest.
Well, you figure like
they're not paying anybody.
They're not paying anybody.
No.
You know what I mean?
You know like, who got a lot of money in this? The drone captain. You know you have to have a pilot's license to fly those.
Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. They put that into place.
Yeah, you have to have a pilot's license.
Interesting.
And that guy, man, they put him to work.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it never feels like raw. But it's like, man, there's a lot of drone
shots.
But that's production value.
Big shots. Yeah.
But, I mean, it is impressive. And a lot of those kids have been in other things. So,
But none of them are big enough names to command real money.
No. But it's just like, man, we'll get into the cast, but they pulled together some,
one hell of a cast.
Some great kid actors from a lot of different things that we've seen them in before, and you might not remember them. But yeah, $35 million. Now, did you know this movie has been in development since 2009?
I did know that.
This version of it?
Do you know who the original guys that brought it to the table was?
Yeah, True Detective.
No.
Wait,
it was the guys from Stranger Things.
No
before,
kidding.
Yeah, before they pitched Stranger Things, they went to Warner Brothers, a new line,
to
was
try
like,
to...
we want to do a reboot of It. And they were just like, nah.
So they're like, okay, we'll create Stranger Things.
They're like, that's fine. We'll do Stranger Things.
Group of kids.
But Stranger Things got kicked around in development hell for years too, until it finally landed at Netflix. Like
interesting.
Yeah, Cary Fukunawa, who gets a writing credit on this, so I think they use a lot
story.
Of his script.
Yeah, well, I think story
was the when they announced this, he was the director, and I think his version was a little.
It was one movie.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
So Warner Brothers originally wanted it was in development from 2009 to 2015 and then it went 2015 to 2017 second iteration.
Yeah.
So for 6 years, Warner Brothers wanted one movie, which is very un-Warner Brothers like, but they wanted the kids and the adults in one story.
It's like it's very un-Hollywood like in the days.
Well, right. I'm just thinking, especially Warner Brothers. We're talking about that.
We need a franchise.
Right. Yeah, with the Harry Potter stuff and all these, you know. But so they wanted one movie, and you know, it's a huge cast, and then you have to have a huge adult cast, huge kid cast. So to tell the story and go back and forth, I think this is one where I don't consider it a cash grab. I mean,
no,
you know what I mean, to try to cram that into
this
one movie.
This would I mean, it's like trying to turn this last Harry Potter book into a single movie. Like you weren't gonna be able to do that.
They honestly, Harry Potter, they should have probably split those last
into
four
three.
Books
oh,
into
agree.
Two movies.
Yeah.
But I think they realized that
too late.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh. Because they're like, oh, we could have done this the whole time.
A billion each. Yeah. Yeah. So it was going to be one movie, and they, you know, they got, there was a different actor.
I think it was Will Coulter.
Yeah.
I think who was the kid from the National Lamp. No. What's the Jason Sudeikis?
We Are the Millers.
Yes, it's yeah, the, it is the We Are the Millers, the Millers, son.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like a young Tim Curry.
So if you go online, there are there's concept art of him as that version of Pennywise.
Yeah.
It would have been very creepy.
It's very creepy, and yeah. I can see how if they were trying to recreate the Tim Curry Pennywise, yes. You know, he has a similarity.
And honestly, we'll get into it, but I'm really glad they didn't do
that. Yeah, and right, and I think it was a smart move. So anyway, basically the story goes that Fukunawa he was having a creative difference
yeah,
with
I
Warner
think,
Brothers.
Warner Brothers and New Line wanted a...
Well, it wasn't at New Line yet.
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah. Warner Brothers wanted a Pennywise-centered horror movie. And not worry about the kids were going to be there, but they were the fodder, and they just wanted it to be a crazy Pennywise.
They wanted him to be Jason or Freddy.
And Fukunawa was just like, you don't get it.
No,
that's not what this movie. That's not what this book is about.
And trust me, when they get to It 3 and 4, that's what they'll do.
Right. The prequels.
Yeah.
Well, there's a tipping point, and the more you have that, the less effective it'll be.
Yes, I agree. So, especially with that character. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in late 2015, or I should say mid 2015, Fukunawa said he dropped out, and then they got the guy that did Mama. It's the guy that ended up directing it. Machete. He has one other movie, and
it's a good movie.
I think that was the one
where the family finds the two girls in the woods, like the two girls who are practically feral. Mm. It's a good little movie. Like it's very small. I think it's all set in like one house. And there's something that's attracted to these girls supernaturally.
Gotcha. Well, so anyway, this is his second feature, and we'll get into that. But
he's gonna be a megastar.
Yeah,
like he's gonna garner a giant paycheck.
Well,
now
hopefully he handles it wisely, and he's not like Colin Trevorrow.
What a dummy!
I was gonna say, I heard this guy's doing so well, he's already been picked up and fired from a
Star Wars. Yeah. Do we know what happened with that?
Yeah, they said Colin Trevorrow. They said on Jurassic Park he was kind of
a problem,
a challenge.
Yeah,
but because Spielberg picked him, he kind of he could throw that weight around. And on this one, he was doing that, and they're like, this guy. I mean, he was just very
see ya.
Yeah, so, like they. You know, with the Lord and Miller, it was a slow trickle of things that were happening. It was like, well, that sounds off-brand. This, like, right off the bat, people were like, yeah, this guy's kind of a jerk.
Like, what if it was a musical?
What if?
And Nathan Fillion is going to be
we bring Darth Vader back.
Yeah, hang on. Now just hear me out. Han and Chewbacca are married.
Oh, my God.
Nathan Fillion is Han.
It's legal now. Right.
But
Chris Pratt shows up and he fights a giant dinosaur.
Now, is he directing World 2?
Yeah, I think he was attached to World 2.
Or is he just a producer? You know, sometimes they...
No, I thought he was directing.
Is he directing it? Okay. Yeah, that's... I mean, so
yeah,
that's...
sometimes those producer credits... Like, Walter Hill still gets a producer's credit on Alien movies.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So I wasn't sure if it was like a name just thrown around. But, man, to have your name attached two movies ahead of time... You know, that you're going to direct episode 9.
I would assume that Rian Johnson is going to be...
Rian Johnson is
the guy.
The rumor is, right? Well, and, you know, everybody's been very complimentary, and it sounds like he's... Here's the thing. We've talked about The Sandbox so many times.
Yeah.
And it's like, especially with somebody who's like Kathleen Kennedy, who's like pretty sure if you look at her producer credits...
Run there's nothing
anybody
you're
going to
do with the exception of like Spielberg, you know.
Yeah, but she was
which is her, right? That's,
like
yeah.
There's no, I don't think there's any director who could be like who could overpower her
right now. No,
especially not in that realm. I mean,
no,
you're playing with somebody else's toys and you're going to put them back in the same shape you found them.
Right,
it's only polite.
I mean, like Gareth Edwards is a prime example where that dude he bowed to the system. He got to do some shots that he wanted to put in that movie. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Rogue One.
Isn't he the one that got fired, though,
no,
too?
No, he didn't get fired.
He's the one that took over.
Brought some... No,
but
he's the one.
they did a lot of reshoots with somebody else.
They did a lot of reshoots.
Tony Gilroy
with
was brought in to punch up the script and shoot some other stuff.
But I think,
like, 50% other stuff.
I think a lot of that stuff.
It was the right call.
Oh no, the movie was great. I know. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like Gareth Edwards.
Although I will say, in his defense, we don't really know that it's the right call because we didn't see his version. But we were very happy with the version.
What
we
saw.
Yeah.
Seemed to be
the right call.
But the fact that they made the changes
there was no we weren't hearing about Gareth Edwards being a problem on set.
No.
Right. Right. And he hasn't
he hasn't said a word.
They let him remain the director.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they didn't go, well, it was Gareth Edwards, but really credit has to go to
Which
Tony
Snyder's
Gilroy.
Gonna be the director.
They didn't
too.
Say that. Yeah.
I think that's gonna be co-director.
No, they said Whedon's not gonna get a credit.
Same thing. I mean, it's one
when
of those
when Whedon is shooting 80% of the movie.
No, 30, they said. They came out and they said what it is.
If you believe everything that comes out of a Hollywood exec's mouth, I've got an igloo in Texas I want to sell you.
Yeah.
I was just saying they said like 32% is what the shits are. But.
So all the dialogue then? All the dialogue.
Right, you know what? I'll take that deal. If Zack Snyder does the action and then somebody else does the actual meat of the movie.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Done.
I will
Maybe
take that
Zack
deal.
Snyder needs to be a second unit.
That's
director.
Never going
to
happen.
No, he's got too much
pride. It's funny. Like,
but,
I was just thinking
no,
about
I
that.
Know, but.
So like. In the beginning of this movie, the Rat Pack logo popped up.
Yeah.
And that's,
I was like, that's Snyder.
It is Snyder.
Yeah.
So every Warner Brothers movie we have seen all year all have that Rat Pack logo.
Yeah. He produces everything.
That's why he keeps getting movies. It's because his wife is. I think it's his wife that runs Rat Pack. I don't think he does it. I think it's Brett
Ratner,
too. I mean,
they both do, but, yeah.
I think Ratner has a hand in that, too.
I thought it was Ratner's production company.
I think it's them.
And every time I see it, I'm just like, ugh!
Well, which one's the Snyder one, then? Because I always thought Rat Pack was Snyder.
It's
Maybe
both
they all
of them.
Just work
I think
together.
I think it's both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two bros.
Snyder. Two bros.
Brett Ratner and McGee. That just sounds like the worst
they all
road trip
with,
ever.
With popped collars. Like, no.
Come on, bro.
We got to go pick up Michael
Pitt,
bro.
We're driving to Tijuana.
You said to pick up Michael Pitt?
Yeah, Michael Bay.
Oh, I thought you said Michael
who's
Bay.
Who's the king
Come
of
on,
the bros?
Man. Bay's having a party.
Yeah.
Let's go,
no,
dude.
Bay
this
is like,
be killer.
Bay is the broverlord.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
like,
saying.
He,
like,
they don't like, he doesn't run in the same broverlord. But like, they all ride like to go visit. Like, we've been summoned by the broverlord.
Come on, bro.
They all go on a road trip to go see him. He's like the wizard.
You have to have a barbed wire tattoo to be in the group. That's the only way.
Well, or a Japanese.
It's a magical barbed wire tattoo that glows.
Yeah.
It's like Apocalypse Now. They're going down the river
it's that Michael Bay shot of all the trucks driving in a straight line, like in the desert.
Do you think that tattoo like raises like the mark on the the Death Eaters?
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. It pops out.
He's calling. We got
the Broverlord.
Let's go. The Broverlord is summoning us.
But I think ultimately the age of auteur is over. At least within the realm of franchises.
I think cinematic universes. Yeah.
Even in the realm of studios, I don't think.
I think at a certain price point, you're not going to get to be an auteur.
Yeah, no. You get to be an auteur at the Get Out level.
Yeah,
at the safety
it follows
when it's safety and not guaranteed. You get to be when it's Star Wars, you do not.
Right,
that's fair. Right.
And I think even if you prove yourself there, you can be an auteur at maybe the $50 or $60 million movie level.
Correct.
Yes,
but once
you get to $300 million,
you're not going to be an auteur.
It's no longer the thing.
They're not going to roll the dice with you anymore.
No.
You know,
no,
not when
Unless
you're basically
Spielberg.
You're making a cog.
but Spielberg wouldn't step into like a cinematic universe type thing.
True.
And so
director of Star Wars 9.
Yeah, I
Steven
mean
Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Could you imagine though if he came back
crap.
With the whole connection there?
and he knows that to do it. He won't.
Yeah, he wouldn't touch that.
It's the same reason we talked about like Tarantino shouldn't do a James Bond movie. It's it's going to they're just going to make it a discordant sort of just disconnect.
It's going to no longer be a Bond movie. It's going to be a Tarantino movie.
Because it doesn't know what it wants to be.
There's no upside for Spielberg to do that.
No.
If it's a huge hit, they're like, well, of course it's Star Wars. And if it tanks, then it's like, oh, Spielberg screwed up Star Wars. Like, there's no...
That's So at the Royal Rumble, like 2 years ago.
There it is.
This is the only one. There was a rumor that AJ Styles.
Can we start using maracas for wrestling?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is the greatest. It's pretty much the best in ring performer at this point. There's a rumor going around that Shawn Michaels was going to show up.
You have my attention.
In Texas, and this was the dream match. Michaels just said in an interview, he was just like, "If we have this match, it's not going to do me any good. to lose.
It's going to break his back.
It's not going to do you any good to lose to me. So, like, there's no upside for us to do this match. And AJ's like, I guess that's a pretty good point. But what you're saying, there's no reason for Spielberg to go into.
Yeah, none.
Like, yeah, of course, if it succeeds, it's a Spielberg movie. Yeah. Of course it succeeds.
And Spielberg is a franchise.
On his own.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, he has franchises, but he also is a franchise.
Yeah, he's a brand on all its own.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that time when Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant were going at it in WrestleMania. Oh.
Don't talk about things you don't understand, Kevin.
Dan, do you remember that time when Curious George... No.
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George. Do you remember that time when...
George the Animal Steel.
Do you remember that time when Bi-Curious George...
Bi-Curious George and the Junkyard Dogs.
Yeah.
JYD.
And they had adventures.
Yes. The man in yellow became the man in white.
Yeah, I love the JYD.
Oh, and moving on. You're light on the rocket today. I don't know.
Yeah, I just want to move on.
It's a Saturday.
Yeah, right.
It's not the Lord's Day. We normally record on
Sundays. Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. It's always about
Gattaker's
that.
Is open today.
We're going to go buy a couple dishwashers.
There's a hyper-local reference.
Yeah. Wow. Can you sing the song?
Have a Ted Drews, why don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Gattaker's Superstore.
I don't think they do the song anymore. Do they?
I would have to watch.
We'd have to
local
watch TV.
TV.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't watch local TV anymore.
I don't think I'm watching anything that has their advertising on it.
It was just Channel 11.
That
was it. When they actually showed movies on Saturdays.
So movie number two in the box office.
Oh, God, move it on.
Oh, there's not much more to discuss with these numbers. But
predict.
Number two, the prediction for this weekend is Home Again. That's the Reese Witherspoon film, I believe. Oh. Anyone know anything about this one?
I believe she plays a woman who returns home after a long absence.
You think so?
Again.
Is it during the holidays?
No, it's not a holiday one.
Okay.
But Holly Hunter direct?
Yeah, I was like, thank you.
Maybe.
I love that movie.
But it is predicted to make $7 million this weekend. So,
I don't know why you would try to put anything against it at this point.
Right. Well,
counter programming. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know anything about that movie, though. No one's heard anything really.
Home Again was originally titled Saudi Arabian Tax Shelter.
Jiggity jig.
Have you ever seen movies like that? Like, there's a Brendan Fraser movie. It's what's it called?
You had me at Brendan Fraser.
It's
movie.
The one where like he's a land developer all the animals rise up, and it's like a kids movie, and the animals are fighting back because they don't want to build houses there. That in and of itself irritates me because it's like. Like, you know, everyone that's seen this movie, like, they
love animals.
They live in a house.
right.
Like, why are we against houses? Like, when did that become a thing? Like,
houses.
I'm anti-house.
I no longer like your houses.
You know, but that's the kind of thing, like, PETA would be against.
Yeah.
Houses.
Right. But the opening credits for this movie, like, everything is, like, it's clearly, like, some sort of... Everything listed is like some sort of Middle Eastern, company and producer. Like every single thing, I'm like, this just has tax shelter written.
Why did you watch this movie?
I had to review it.
Oh,
at one
did?
Point,
okay.
I was the Brad Hyen of review as well.
And you know, to your point, Dan, it's funny when you look at this. I went to Box Office Mojo to try to find a budget on Home Again.
Furry Vengeance.
It's
Furry Vengeance.
Yeah,
that's what it's called.
Which is also a porn movie.
Yeah, right.
It's not even a porn parody.
Nope,
it's just a porn movie. Yeah.
So, to your point, Home Again on Box Office Mojo, I do not have a budget on it. The only information, aside from the actors, Reese Witherspoon, Nat Wolff, who was just in Death Note, Michael Sheen, Candace Bergen, Lake Bell. Aside from that, there's no numbers, no other information, no synopsis. Related stories. Adaptation of Stephen King's It targets fall opening weekend record. So that tells you, should you go up
what
against it?
What happened to Brendan Fraser? Did he get in trouble?
Like, someone released a really good video essay on it, of what happened to him.
I think he made enough money to where he's like, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm going to eat what I want.
At least it's
I think that's like at a certain point,
I'm no longer going to pay for hair plugs.
I sure do love me some Burger King.
Yeah.
I want to buy one.
I think turning down Journey 2 is the beginning of it. He fought for the director from Journey 1 to be in Journey 2. The studio wouldn't have it, and they brought on who?
I don't know.
The Rock Johnson
the director.
No, but replace him because they're you won't do it without the director of Journey 1.
That's fine.
Oh, we've got The Rock. So
and he wasn't that was name the, at that point.
Like, I think
he
was on the beginning of his ascent.
As
an A-lister.
Yeah, it's too bad because I mean, liked Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser
I mean, yeah, he was definitely of like the late 90s, early aughts.
Yeah.
And I mean, you also have to look at movies like Blast from the Past,
Good
Gods
movie.
And Monsters. It's like he
Encino
was in some
Man.
Crash.
Yeah, he was, not that one.
I like Crash.
Oh, that movie sucks.
I like it a lot.
That's just an insult. I'm sorry. That movie just made me angry. It was just like, we're gonna, you know what they should call that movie? Button pushing.
Paper tigers.
Yeah. Setting them up, knocking them down.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I was just like, please. Oh, I just watch that again with a
maybe.
Yeah. Oh, if you could give BVS three times, you could watch Crash again and let me know if you feel the same.
But yeah, there were so many straw man arguments in that movie. They're doing a reboot entirely with scarecrows.
So we're aligned on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie. Everybody's like, it's so good. I was like, is it?
Didn't it win something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it beat out Brokeback Mountain for Best Picture.
Okay.
Ah, that was a big upset.
Yeah.
Why can't Doc quit you?
So Brendan Fraser did the first Journey in 2008. He did the third Mummy movie in 2008. Then he turns down the second one for whatever sometime in the next couple of years. In 2009, he did Inkheart. He had a cameo in G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra, I guess. Extraordinary Measures, which was a CBS film, maybe the first one.
That was with Harrison Ford.
That was the first CBS film, remember?
Yeah.
And we reviewed that. Furry Vengeance was the same year. Then it goes forward 3 years without work. Escape from Planet Earth, he was in a voice. Wasn't that a really bad animated? It had a $40 million budget. It made $70 worldwide. I guess it wasn't awful, but you know, one of those off brands. It wasn't a Disney or Pixar or anything like that. Then Pawn Shop Chronicles in 2013 as well.
Yikes.
A Voice in the Nut Job, and then Give Me Shelter in 2014. I don't know if he was a main role in that. So, I mean, yeah, so another three years.
Yeah, he was. That was the movie. Give Me Shelter was the movie.
I remember the name.
That I walked out of because the crowd wouldn't shut up and I got in a fight with a girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
That almost happened to me and it.
Yeah.
Save it.
No, because it's fine. Yeah. So this woman in front of me must have been a huge fan of the book, and she was drunk off her ass.
Oh, and so, she let you know every thing they didn't.
This is such a paradox, though. So you've got somebody who's literate.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But like,
it's stupid.
So the whole row in front of me.
Have you ever heard of Bukowski? Oh, I was going to thought you said like drinking and illiterate. Yeah. No.
The whole row in front of me were all drunk, which I don't care. Like, it's fine. It was 10 o'clock on a Thursday night. It's whatever. But this woman would like, when something happened that didn't go according to the book, she was animated and like doing the head roll and like, that's not. He doesn't stutter on the word. Like when Bill says fuck, he won't stutter. So we will say in the movie he does, and she goes, he doesn't stutter on fuck, and we're just and like finally the boyfriend was like, we're gonna leave. And
I'd like, be like, I don't really, stutter either.
Like,
you
yeah, yeah. Like they got up and they left. He came back without her.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I was like,
cold
well, you know
cocker or something.
You know, I'm fine with that if that's the case.
Like she left.
Like I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe she passed out in the car. I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't like as a comic fan. I get when the films don't do the source material right. Like I understand that outrage,
and you keep it to yourself.
Unless I have a podcast, and then I say on the podcast. But
in the theater, you
keep it. No, I'll never. Yeah. I've been in theaters where I have audibly groaned.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, God.
That last Riddick movie, I don't think I was like, I was starting to be.
I was sitting next to you though, yeah, and like, I know. Man, Dan, I could feel his disapproval.
Well, like, just radiating.
he made her straight.
Yeah. You know? Right.
He's
no, it's
Diesel.
Cool. Yeah.
But
yeah, it was.
I will do you one better real quick. So you were at a movie, right?
Yeah.
I was at a play last night.
Oh.
A dramatic play. We're talking about an intimate 700-seat theater, you know, not a huge 4,000 like the Fox, at the Rep, seeing a dramatic play with hardly any music. It's all dialogue, right? And there's some serious subject matter.
That gets a straight play. It's not a musical or anything.
Yeah. But behind me, the entire place is quiet watching this play where you're not any further than 20 rows from the stage at the furthest away. I get the two people behind me that are drunk and talk during the entire play. The woman has to comment on everything that happens. She's at least whispering, so it's quiet, but she's commenting, which is still obnoxious. And he goes, like full voice. Like he doesn't know how to whisper. So
I don't understand these people who are like, Like, who's going to get drunk now and go to, like, an art opening?
No,
I'm going to get drunk and right? go make fun of paint.
So, well, and they were probably on a date, like a first date. So they went out.
Oh, perfect. Let's get hammered on a first
date. Well, they probably got too many drinks.
I'm going to get some culture.
And get this. So not only did they...
I'm going to get some culture.
I mean, everyone around us was groaning and, you know, but get this. Not only were they talking and doing that whole thing, he had a drink with him, of course, the entire show. This is how it went.
Oh,
every
no.
sip.
God.
In a play with
I'd have
hardly
pulled
any
him
music
out by the scruff of his neck.
A dramatic play where the entire audience is quiet. Every sip in a slur.
Yeah.
Behind me, the guy directly behind me. It was so obnoxious. It made me so mad because trying to watch this dramatic piece of work, you know, and I got that right behind me.
Yeah.
I don't hear noises coming from anywhere else in the theater.
Oh, man.
It's just my luck, right?
Yeah.
It's like they just find us. I don't know how this happens, but
they know.
It is awful. So if you're going to do that, the concert's fine. Go get your drinks and party at a concert, but
I don't even mind drinking at a movie. Like
No. But acting like that if you're drinking, I mean.
I guess it doesn't bother me.
I do if it's going to make you an idiot.
Right,
yeah,
that's
fair.
That's what I mean.
If you can't control, you have a drink at a movie.
Yes, that's what
you're,
I mean.
You're not at a concert. You're not at a bar. You have a drink.
If you're going, I think if you're going to, like our buddy Andy Triefenbach does, the late night grindhouse, like having a few drinks and going
pre-gaming a little bit. That's a little different.
If you're
a
Rocky Horror, that's different.
It's different.
Yeah,
because everybody's seen the movie you're going to see. It's not like you're seeing Halloween 2 for the first time and you're going to get pissed because somebody's drunk.
But even they will say, you know, this isn't, you know, MST3K.
Yes, they will.
It's okay to have, like, you know, collectively.
Shout out to him because he's got Suspiria coming up.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, I totally agree.
It's okay to react and it's okay to laugh, you know, to go, because you're supposed to.
But
it's the talking.
But you're not the star of the show.
It isn't.
It's
just so rude.
If you're not on the stage, shut up.
It's not the drunk millennial show.
Yeah. It's just so rude to the people around you that are paying good money to see this live, especially in a live performance. Mm-hmm. I mean, a movie's bad enough, but you can see that again. When people are paying $50, $100, whatever, for what show they're at, and that's one time they're going to see it, and you're going to talk throughout it.
The chair coming off the stage.
You know, someone's paying hundreds of dollars to watch this once-in-a-lifetime performance, at least of this cast, at this place and time, and you're going to commentary, just go away.
Yeah. I had, the last run-in I had was at Prometheus. So it's been a while. And these girls, young girls, were next to me, and they're chatting the whole time. And they were chatting. I mean, they were loud. And then it was through the trailers, and it's like,
got time.
Yeah. And then it was in the opening credits and, you know, the whole thing. And I'm trying to be like, what is going on, you know, with the architects and stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I'm like, okay, you're done. And she says she's going to kick my ass. And I'm like, okay.
That's fine.
And she just stared at me. I'm like, I stared back at her, and that was it. I was like, oh, you are? Okay. But I was like, I hate that it has to arrive at that.
Right.
It's like,
there's no reason to go to that level.
Why would you be the bad guy for telling someone in a theater to not be talking through a movie? Like, isn't that bad that they are going to make a trouble with you and be like, they should be embarrassed?
Like, I'm the bad guy.
Like,
how dare you try to interrupt my conversation? Just to watch this movie you paid.
It's like when you
$20 for.
When somebody tears through a stop sign and you say, hey, and they turn around and flip you off.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Then you start rethinking, you're like, did I do something wrong? What did I do?
Well, and this is why people don't go to the movies.
I think that's true.
So that's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because Stone Cold said so.
Let's hear about more movies people didn't go to.
Yeah. So, number three, The Hitman's Bodyguard, $4.8 million. So that would be a 54% drop. So
a $30 budget.
it puts it around $65 million. So, I mean, it's making money.
The budget of that is similar to It. It was like 29, wasn't it?
Right.
Something like that.
Right.
That's
no, it's 30. So it's the same around the same budget. But, you know, that's a comedy, too. So, I mean, I guess there are some action things, but it's more... talking and joking and
was it a comedy?
No, not
part
really.
Of it.
Intermittently. Yeah, right.
Oh, right. I mean, I don't know if they knew, but I think it was supposed to be pretty funny. Number four, Wind River. This is a movie that's getting a ton of attention. Did you see it, Tom? Has anyone seen it?
No, I have not. Is this the Jeremy Renner one?
Yeah, the Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen It's supposed to be excellent.
I've heard good things.
I've talked to a few people that have seen it. Brad Hyens, speaking of him, he said it's the best movie he's seen this year.
Oh, you threw him a bone from having to review The Nut Job 2?
No, I made him pay for that.
Oh, very good. Okay.
It's just coming out at the wrong time. Maybe
the right time. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a slow build.
Timing wise, I mean, it is really early for an Oscar contender.
How many screens is it on?
That is a great question, Dan. So it is on.
That could be. Sense of where the studio stands on this release.
Yeah, you know what? I'm on Box Office. I'm not used to this website. So
Baker's Dozen.
The widest release right now. It's been out 35 days total, and it's on 2,800, about 2,900 screens.
Okay,
so
we'll see what happens.
It's getting up there. I mean, I think that it opened. Let's see, limited opening, of course. It opened in 4 theaters, and then wide opening, it opened in 700, so it's up to almost 3,000 now.
Okay.
So it's obviously gaining enough momentum to keep increasing. So we'll see what that one ends up doing, but right now it's at about $25 million, and it had an $11 million budget. Yeah. So it's already profitable. People are still talking about it.
They're
anxious
not spending
to see
much
it.
on promoting it.
No, they're not.
No, not at all. So we'll see if that ends up sticking around for the end of the year consideration. Number five, Annabelle Creation. That's the movie we talked about several weeks ago. It has made another $3.4 million, they're predicting. It's up to $95 million, though, and I think that at a $15 million budget.
Yep.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
So they tripled the Blumhouse special, and still 95, almost to that $100 million mark.
Well,
so
this is going to be a good weekend for it, because all those theaters that are sold out of it tickets are going to be like, Annabelle. Well, all right, let's see that Dowl movie.
But will they? Like, do theaters sell out anymore, right? Don't they just open with the digital screens? Don't they just...
Well, I think, but there's only so much they can do that, because they still have promised other showings of other movies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do, like, a swap.
Gotcha.
Not like day of. Like, you might be able to get away with it if you see it's tracking well.
Yeah.
You might be able to be like, let's pull it up a little bit.
The theater I saw it at last night added more screens, and I was kind of mad because I looked a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, they only have an 8:45 show. And then yesterday, or the day before, it was like, there's a 7 o'clock, and I'm like, man. So, because I had already bought a ticket at another show, but I was like, well, I'll do the 7 o'clock at this one, and it's a reserve seat, and it's not the best seat, but, in that day,
right?
They added another, set of screen, another screen.
Gotcha.
And it was already mostly sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And they'll do that.
But I should say, last week I said that Ty West, I thought Ty West was going to get Halloween. They've already got a guy. It's the guy that from Your Highness. I've completely forgot that
right, that's because it's the Danny McBride.
It's David Gordon Green.
Yeah.
Is the guy who's going to direct it. I completely forgot that.
Joe.
That's that man. That they've been talking about that movie for years, and I forgot that. There's my retraction.
Number six, Leap. That's the movie that you can read the F review on ReviewSTL.com. Sleep, yes. Yeah. They'll make another $3 million, they're saying, which puts it up to $16.5 million, a 40% drop. It's still the only kids movie out. And the other thing is, too, it's already been released overseas. I think in the UK, you can get it on Blu-ray. So if they're just putting it out in America and it's making $20 million, that's
money,
free. Yeah, absolutely. Number seven, Dunkirk, still hanging around with another almost $3 million. That
Gross.
Is at $183 million domestically, but overseas. Pause for editing. It's tricky doing this way.
It's the old way we used to do it. It's also tricky to rock a rhyme. I mean, one that's right on time.
Right.
But that makes sense.
It's tricky.
Right on time.
Dunkirk has almost $300 million overseas, though.
Jeepers
creepers. It's approaching the $500 million mark, and that is now
But it's in euros.
So it doesn't count. It's in pesos.
So $500 million in 7 weeks. So movie has made a ton of money.
I don't remember the last time a movie like where we were just like, I don't get it. I can't figure out why that's making so much money. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm trying to think.
Avatar.
Like, right, fair enough.
But like, I could figure that out because Avatar had
the new 3D.
Good 3D, and people were really responding to that.
Yeah.
But
Transformers, I mean, those movies that make $1 billion, and we're like, these are awful. How is it still making
every
sense?
One of those silly car movies you guys see? Yeah. Car movies.
Every wrestling pay-per-view.
They don't have pay-per-views anymore.
Damn it.
subscription service.
The existence of professional
wrestling.
What a weird
thing. I don't know how they got away with that.
Yeah.
They were $50. They were $50 to get a pay-per-view on Sundays.
You already had your one wrestling reference. Yeah, you said there was one, right, so enough. We got to move on. Yeah.
We have a cap.
Number 8, Logan Lucky. That's going to make another $2.5 million, so that puts it up at $25.6 million domestic. That's a 43% drop. And, you know, I'm disappointed that's this low on the box office numbers.
Yeah, just wait. I mean, it's gonna find a life on.
I hope so, but video. It had a $29 million budget, and it's just barely gonna break.
I like that poster though.
Yeah, it's good.
Good looking poster.
It's just barely gonna break $30 million, and yeah. You know, so it's not even making its money back after advertising and you know box office stuff. So hopefully it has a life on video. I think it deserves better than that. So we'll see. But one that definitely will not be hurting for money: Spider-Man: Homecoming, still in the top 10 at number 9. It's supposed to make another $2.1 million, which is a 43% drop. And that thing's been out for what,
like
10
that's
weeks
still
now.
A lot of money.
Isn't yeah,
coming out on.
I don't know.
Video
I haven't
couple,
seen.
Like
it's gotta
week.
Be.
I mean, Wonder Woman's yeah. out. Already, Guardians 2
and, then Spider-Man came out like 2 weeks after Wonder
yeah,
Woman.
Yeah,
so. Yeah. Spider-Man has been out 9 weeks, and it is at over $750 million after this weekend. So
woo-hoo!
that's good money. And then yeah, Blu-ray money. Here's another $100 million
easily
for Blu-ray and digital. Easily. It's about to come.
It's
out,
funny, so. Like they're gonna have. There's gonna be a 2 month gap in between this and Thor. Like Spider-Man's only going to be out of the Marvel movie's only going to be out of theaters
yeah.
for maybe a month, right? So we'll have right. like it's
October and then November, yeah.
Yeah. So like that's well done, Marvel. Yeah. Like you've had this movie out since May, right?
I feel like
July.
I feel like they're doing something right. It's almost like another comic book franchise or company should take note of what Marvel's doing.
Oh no, don't do that.
Oh okay.
why would you use a formula for success?
I have no idea. Yeah. But one that is following a formula is the number 10 movie rounding out the top 10 is Despicable Me 3 with $1.2 million. That movie is at $260 million domestic. Joe, what has it made worldwide?
Ooh, what was it, 260 domestic?
Mm-hmm.
900
$1 billion.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was going to say $1 billion. But
just surpassed $1 billion worldwide.
Oh man,
it's almost $750 million overseas alone on an $80 million budget.
That's just insane.
So you wonder why they keep making these Minions and Despicable Me movies?
I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. Like that makes sense.
$1 billion on an 80.
A billion on an 80. That's pretty good. That's pretty good turnaround.
Yeah, it's Drew and Gru.
Yeah,
it's
I'm sure
winning
Steve
Carell's
like, I'll take a back end deal. Thanks. Yeah.
So that's the box office.
You need to get a cut of that, just him saying he would
back end deal.
He would take a back end deal.
Yeah.
Isolate that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the new, it was a breath of fresh air. It was.
I loved everything about it. Everything it was a breath it. Of fresh air.
Oh, Joe.
Never forget that.
You liked it too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But
who didn't like it?
Tom.
And no, who got lambasted for not liking it?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't lambast me.
I didn't
everybody
laugh.
I don't think Blake liked it either.
I think Blake had a lukewarm reaction to it.
Blake wasn't that crazy about it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, when we were talking about the whole terraforming thing and the Tinkle thing, and like, I gave it a B, but.
When I go back and reread it, it's not like a D.
You reread the script?
Yeah.
Or what do you...
When you go, when you go back and reread a paper, you're like...
I gave it an F, and if I were to go back and rewatch it,
I would
I would also rate it lower.
remember F minus?
Yes.
The worst.
F minus. So that's the box office report.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Not the box office report. That's not an F minus. That's always A plus.
Well...
That's
I don't know that I'd say
not go crazy.
Well, I can edit that out. So anyway, that's always an A plus.
All of a sudden, it'll be me saying that was a breath of fresh air. I
loved everything about
it. It was better than Cats. I want to see it again and again.
Yeah. So that was your A plus box office report. Back to you, Tom.
So thank you, Kevin. So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket and subscribe to Show Spoilers on iTunes. Just in case you guys have been wondering, when are they going to come out with another one of those shows? We released the first one on this feed, but you have to subscribe to Show Spoilers to get the rest. And we just did a 2-part season 7 recap. So go ahead and subscribe and listen to that. And we appreciate it.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, find us at facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or just on the internet at realspoilers.com, and I believe you can still find us at dirtypiratehuggers.com. Plural.
Yeah.
Because anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Correct.
So there you go. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Stephen King's It.
Oh.
Which is the way you have to say it.
Thank you for clarifying.
You have to clarify. It's like, it's like, do you think he would have called the book that had he written it today?
No.
In the age of Google.
He'd have called it Pennywise.
In the age of Google. No, no. I don't think he would call it Pennywise.
The Losers Club?
That, I'd maybe. Go, you know, because Pennywise really, I mean, he's a memorable thing, but he's not the focus of the book.
That's
and
true.
Ultimately, he's not the true villain.
Yes. Bingo.
So, exactly. So anyway, but yeah, there's no, I think even the publisher would have been like, you can't Google that. It's like the band Live.
Oh, man.
Ugh. Like, boy, what an unfortunate, like, how do you Google that?
You don't. The band Live.
Yeah.
That's how you Google that.
Or the band The Band.
Yeah.
Like, that was real cute. That was real cute until they came out with Google.
I will say, honestly, though, props to Google, because if you type in it,
it gives
stuff
you the
about
right
the
one.
Movie will come up. So yeah. I'm impressed that somehow, just because of their algorithms, they know it's popular, they will return they those.
I wonder if Google did that or if the studio reached out to Google and was like,
hey, man,
could you do us a solid?
Right.
I wonder.
We'll give you a cut of the movie.
Yeah. I was just impressed because I tried it. I just typed in it, and I think I ended up typing in it movie and got more results. But when I typed in it, the news results, and there were posters for it, I'm like, whoa.
Well, yes. You got to be careful because sometimes like they'll have those movies that are knockoffs. They're looking to glob on to the you know, the box office.
Right. Yeah. Asylum.
The media, the other. And so I walked into a screening, and it was just somebody installing Windows 98 for 45 minutes. And then I realized I was at IT.
IT.
Yeah. Oh, so
that's
gotta,
retro,
you
too.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that. You got to watch it. Was well, it? It's cheap. They did it on the cheap. Yeah. You know,
Windows 98. Was it second edition or just?
It might have been XP.
I think it was a professional edition.
It. Yeah.
I think that's what that was.
Do you guys remember Windows Millennium?
Nope.
Windows ME?
Nope.
After
one that didn't work.
Windows 98 was Millennium.
Yeah. And then they were like, no,
oh, no.
So anyway, that's it for this episode.
Until next time, always reformat and partition your discs properly.
Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.